I'm Marcia Desian. I'm here with Marguerite Currens on February 17th, which happened to be her birthday. It's 2011, and we're going to talk about the women's suffrage movement in the United States and how it affected her and her grandmother and many generations to come. Tell me about your grandmother.
Well, my grandmother died a long time before I was born, so I never knew her. In my heart, I knew her. And her name was Edna Buckman Currens, and she was my mother's mother. Heard my mother tell stories about her, and she said things like, you know, your grandmother was a very important person who did important work. And I knew she wasn't famous or anything, but I was very excited about this, and I couldn't wait to go to school. And when the teacher talked about how women got the right to vote, I was going to raise my hand, and I was going to get up, and all the kids were going to look at me, and I was going to tell the story about my grandmother. All through elementary school, it was never mentioned. So I thought, well, you know, I'm a patient. I'm sure they'll get around to it. In seventh grade, not a word. And then in eighth grade, finally, the social studies teacher got around to it. He told the whole story in one sentence, because I'll never forget it. He said, and then in 1920, women were given the vote. I was kind of a shy kid, and, you know, at that time I didn't say anything. I didn't raise my hand, but I knew that wasn't quite right. I knew women weren't vote. They had to work for it, and they worked really hard. And that's how I know that my grandmother was a part of it, because she did a lot of work for maybe 10 or 12 years. Life went on. You know how things go. You just think about other things, and life takes you to a lot of different places. And it didn't take me anywhere close to my grandmother. And then I got older, and I said, you know, I wonder why I am the way I am. I realized that if I was going to figure out why I am the way I am, I had to learn about not just my grandmother, I had to learn about my whole family. So one day I said, Mother, don't give me any more tea towels or blenders, tablecloths, knives and forks, plates. I only want one thing in life. I want to know the stories of my family. I want to know why I am the way I am. And she said, okay. And a month passed, and no, nothing from my mother. Another month passed, nothing from my mother. And finally, I got a little uppity about it, and I called her up and said, hey, when are we going to get started? And she kind of got a little upset. And that's when I found out that she really hadn't gotten over her mother dying when she was 13 and 14. And so anyway, I was patient, but soon my mother got into it. And pretty soon the stories started to come out from my mother, and I started to learn about my grandmother. And that's when I started to learn about this important part of history in my family, but everybody's families, because we all stand on the shoulders of the women who did the work to get votes for women. And that's how it began.
How do you think the suffrage movement affected not only her time, your grandmother's time, but also our time?
Well, the first thing is that a lot of people don't know about it. So the point is that here's this incredible part of history that gives us like just a sense of pride and appreciation and power and about how courageous they were. And a lot of people, if you don't know about it, how can you stand up tall and straight? How can you get the inspiration to say, hey, there's things that happen in this world today that are not quite fair, or they should be changed, and I don't know. Sometimes I would get kind of like, oh, I can't deal with it, and oh, it's too much for me, or oh, you can't fight City Hall. But wait a minute, what about my grandmother and all those women? They didn't have any rights at all. They could not vote, and yet they did it. They pulled this off. How did they do it? What were their secrets? I was curious. I really wanted to know. The more we know about our history, the more strength we have. We just have to scratch the surface and discover it.
Your mother was born at an interesting time. Why is this significant?
My mother, Wilma, was born November 12th, 1920. It was the week that all American women got the right to vote. So her entire life, women voted. But, of course, that wasn't true for her mother. And so, basically, she was a suffrage baby. She was a baby that was born with all the rights and privileges that her mother had fought so hard to get.
What do you think all women should know about a women's rights movement?
All women, even Quaker women, had no legal rights. And so, therefore, they knew that somebody had to take the initiative. And it wasn't happening. They kind of knocked on doors and said, it's time, but nobody was paying any attention to them. And then the Civil War came, and they said, oh, we have a war going. We don't have time to give you women the vote. And it's very nice that you women did help in the abolitionist movement, you know, but you have to wait. It's not your time. And so from the time of the beginning of this country, 1776, to 1920, when women got the right to vote, that's 144 years. That's a long time. So you'd say, well, hey, what was going on? Well, there was a lot of opposition. There was a lot of resistance. We did it this way for so many years. We're not going to change it now. That was the attitude. And so they had no rights. You know, they didn't have rights sometimes to their own children. They call it civil death. That means you are alive and you're walking around, but civilly, basically, you're dead.
What kinds of things do you want to do in order to make certain that women of our time know about the suffrage movement?
I just get excited, and I want to tell stories. I want people to know that women went to jail so that we have the right to vote today, and that they were not only imprisoned for picketing the White House, which was a very radical thing to do. No. But they had to do it. And if they hadn't done it, it might have taken many, many more years. My grandmother was one of the women that picketed the White House. But they rounded up many of those women and put them in jail. And there's a very famous part of that whole story is called the Night of Terror, when they were really abused. And then they went on a hunger strike, and then they were force-fed. And it was there, when the story got out about these women that were doing this, all of a sudden people started to look at it differently. But what they had to do so that we have this right today is a story that not many people know about.
If there is one final thing that you would like to say, what would it be?
We have a lot to do in this world, as women and as people. So how do we go out into the world and do that? Especially when it's just like today is like it was before. They looked up at the world and they said, oh, this will never change. It's always going to be this way. Do you just give up? Or do you say, well, you know what? Seems like other times in our history, people also felt the same way. And so that's all I'm trying to do, is to say, yeah, this isn't new. There's always been big problems. But just like then and just like today, we have to get up out of our chairs, stand up, look around, and look at our history, and look at our situations and say, all right, I'm taking it on. I'm doing it. And we're doing it together.